Yes, hello there. It's a thrill to know that we're the only Brisbane show where the PM has our show number on speed dial, and it's wonderfully used it today, Ed.
Mm. Yeah, Rich Uncle Mal, all talking Mardi Gras and Pauline Hanson. But I tell you what, Robin, it was the green half hour, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. Sherry, who has a daughter, Tara, who's had so many fits, and through medicinal marijuana, they're all gone.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Story, Mother. Yeah, don't worry about the amazing. We had the health minister on, and I reckon we're close to getting legal marijuana with you. If you've got a sore shoulder.
Stop it.
You tried hard.
Can you roll
Mother.
Me one up, Doc?
Yeah, I think you really
close.
Did.
No doctor's ever given one out after you've asked, can you roll me one? You got a fatty there for me, Doc?
It'd be like they're riding. That's a bit rough. Can you tidy that one up?
Our comedian Merrick Watts joins us as well. It's a great show. You enjoy it. We'll catch you tomorrow on Brisbane's 104.5 Triple M.
Marto, Ed and Robin, lifting podcasting to new heights. Well, they're giving it a crack. Might need a hand from Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-heightforhire.com.au.
What a treat. Every week he takes time out of his busy schedule to speak to us. On the line now from Canberra, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. It's always lovely to speak to Triple M in Brisbane, and I've been listening this morning, and I've got to agree, the bakery out in Logan, although not my heartland, is a wonderful place.
Yes, is it?
I went out there and got a cheesy mate scroll once.
Yes.
Because it's what the poor eat.
Yes, that's right.
It was disgraceful. I've never eaten something as poor as that, but it was nicely made by the people out there.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Did you go to Mardi Gras on Sunday?
Well, you know, Robin, I was criticised for not turning up to Mardi Gras, but the thing is, I was there, but incognito. On Sunday night, the Liberal Party, at the behest of Christopher Pine, finally had a float in the LGBTQI gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. Yes, it was a Toy Story themed float. I don't know whether you saw it on the telecast.
No.
Christopher was Woody in more than one way. Kelly O'Dwyer was Buzz Lightyear. Michaela Cash was Jessie the Cowgirl. And I was Stinky Pete, the prospector.
Really,
it was terrific. And, of course, Peter Dutton was Mr. Potato Head because he does look like a potato, doesn't he? He didn't even have to get dressed up. Anyway, we all got off chops and had a wonderful time. Ended up at Stonewall singing that communard song, Don't Leave Me This Way.
Well, talking about shirts off, which I'm sure you did, Pauline Hanson says you should be more like Vladimir Putin as a leader.
Well, this is an impossible situation, Marto. Huh. I mean, of course I have to take her calls because she's got a firm grip on my political cojones. And she's tugging hard, I might say. Really, I'm somebody that enjoys rounding my vowels, but listening to that rotten nasal squeak makes me want to harm myself. Really, Matt, out in high. And Rob, what about her dress sense? It really is Gold Coast Cougar, isn't it? she's a terrible imbecile. What does she want me to do?
What?
Shoot down the plane, you know, wrestle a tiger, kill my political enemies? Maybe that's the idea. Can we shoot Pauline? I'm just kidding, guys. Everyone in the office said, yes, we can.
Hey, Uncle Mal, support, mate. Support is dwindling for the cut to penalty rates.
Well, listen, it's good for business if we cut penalty rates. They'll be able to employ more people on the weekend. And I ask you, honestly, have you ever been into a shop or a pub or a McDonald's on the weekend and thought the munter behind the counter deserves to be paid twice? Really? You've been sitting there waiting for your chicken McNuggets and the guy hot with acne behind the window, you think to yourself, he should be getting twice as much as he deserves. Really, how are we going to crush the poor if we keep paying them a lot of money?
Crush the poor. Okay, Rich Uncle Mal.
Absolutely crush the poor.
Thank you for your time today.
Now, before I go, Triple M rocks. South Bank Beach.
Does it right. I'll see you there. I'll be the one with the newspaper with the eye holes cut out. Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal. Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye now.
Okay, so one of the things that you have said to me in the last 30 days of working together is that you realise that I do a lot of observations. So I watch people and I watch things.
I worry about your body language stuff.
Yeah, because I notice that sort of stuff. So I have put together a top 5 list of the things that I have observed about you guys. Are you ready for this?
Well, not really. Then. I don't like confrontation.
Okay.
I like punching people, but I don't like confrontation.
Well, here's my permission. If you don't like it, you can punch me at the end. There you go. Is that fair enough?
I'm not going to punch you.
Okay. Number one, Ed Cavalli, hands down, the funniest guy I have ever worked with. Man, I have done, I've done 25 years of breakfast radio, and I'm not dissing the people that I've previously worked with, but I laugh genuinely until I cry, because one of the main reasons is that I never know what you're going to say next. Actually, grade 7 camp is in about 2 weeks. Thanks for the reminder.
Where are they going? Syria?
Not this year.
No.
Not after last year.
I rest my case.
That's a standard Syria gag.
No, it's not.
Any
Ed
comedian
Cavalli.
Worth their salt would have said Syria there.
Okay, say thank you, because you're really
funny. I appreciate
funny.
That. Thank you, Rob.
Can I make a suggestion? When you do these things, it's hard. Don't say nice things.
Well, no, I'm getting to the
because
bad
that's
stuff.
Okay. I was going to say, because that's hard to take nice
things. Buttering
okay,
you up.
Number two. Yeah. Ed and Marto, seriously, have such a unique chemistry. They are like the two old guys in The Muppets.
This show is awful.
Terrible.
Disgusting.
See you next week.
Of course.
Yeah, they can be grumpy. You can be grumpy and argumentative, but at the end of the day, you still come together and agree on absolutely everything.
Mm. Yeah, it is quite odd, because I see him as this crazy old man. But then, as Tiff points out, I don't know why you call him that. You agree with him all the time.
Yeah, what about that Steve Smith catch yesterday? We can be arguing about something, and then we go, oh, that was a screamer.
See, listen to it. They're doing it now.
That's how easy it is.
Okay, number three. If Marto gets grumpy and explodes, it's never personal. No. You are extremely passionate about absolutely everything, and you could be described as a volcano that goes off.
But a quick one.
Yeah, a quick one. But it's never, ever personal, and it's never for the faint-hearted.
Some goody two-shoes stick your nose in, goes, oh, this kid's going to die.
Okay, that's, see?
It's normally when he does that that we push the button for our producers and go, can we get a milkshake to stop the effects?
A chocolate thick shake
to maybe calm the effects of the Red Bull that he's had?
It's like some sort of a plug, the choppy thick shake.
Okay, number four, these guys, Ed and Marto, seriously hate meetings. Their philosophy is...
Thank you that one.
We hate meetings.
We'll have to have a meeting if this goes on too long. What?
It cannot be... If it can't be said in a sentence or actioned in a minute, it is not worth doing. Now, my favourite story about that, we'd known each other for 3 days. We were sent interstate to do the shots of the promo shots that you're now seeing all over Brisbane, right?
Too.
Okay, the photographer is desperately trying to get us to do all these different things, and Ed's going, nah, we've got it. Yeah.
I love Ed.
And I know, mate, you were right.
No one moves on photographers. Right. Your wedding photos must have taken 8 seconds.
They did. They did, mate. Our wedding photos took place at the venue where we were having the reception on the balcony. The photographer, who's a lovely guy, goes, could we do one where, like, you're bending down and you're looking at her wedding ring and you're looking up at her? I said, mate, that was the proposal. You weren't there to take the photo then, so we're not doing it now.
And my final point is actually really personal to me, right? I have learnt more in the last 6 weeks of working with you guys than I have in 2.5 years of therapy and counselling to deal with my 3 sons. I am not kidding. No. Get to the point. These are the things I've learnt in talking to them. Get to the point. If it's not in your direct sphere of influence, you better sell it hard or make it good. Otherwise, forget it.
Yep.
Anger and moods and silence often have absolutely nothing to do with me.
They're just hungry.
And finally, a 10-minute conversation about sport is as bonding to men as a champagne and 3-hour debrief to women. You may have less words.
You've been paying
None
attention.
Of them are about your personal life, but that connection and camaraderie is as real to a man as any gossip session to a woman.
You know what, Robin? You are coming along very nicely. We will have you complaining about meetings and talking about classic catches soon enough.
We'll take away the litter box. You'll be able to make it to the toilet soon. This is great.
It is the man of the hour tour, and the man of the hour, well, it's his hour, so he can do what he likes with it. Hello, Merrick Watts.
Hi, guys. Great to have you on the show with you guys. Have you on the show?
So used to saying, have you on the show?
What a moron.
And this is weird anyway. We're promoting your first ever solo stand-up show. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Marto. 23 years it's taken me to write my first solo show. And you're going to watch it and you're just going to go, 23 years. That's a long time for that.
So what are you doing in it?
So it's a show, basically it's about how the people in my life and the people who I love have kind of forged me into being the man that I am today. So I talk a lot about, you know, being a father compared to being a father in the 80s and the 70s when it was okay to let your kids play with petrol, as opposed to now where it's not, you're not even allowed to give your kids a glucose lolly in case, you know, they get addicted to sugar.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Marty, you've actually got a... What were you telling us about your father when he would drive you around in the old car?
Oh, when used to jump off... He'd specifically go around hills where he knew the car could get lift off. No seatbelts in the back. You remember those days, anyone?
Yeah, 100%, Marty. Hey. I'm with you on that. My old man used to literally say, and I'm not condoning this at all. In fact, I'm condemning it. The old man used to say that he would drive better after he'd had a couple of nerve settlers.
Oh, dear.
It's good. What? Yeah. Look, those are things. Because, oh, no, I mean, we're going to be driving. I'll have a couple of nerve settlers because I'll drive better when I've had a couple. No, you don't, Dad. No one does.
What were those Bexes they used to have? You remember how they used to have Bex or one of those?
Yeah, Bex and a lie down.
A little bit of paper. That looked suspiciously like cocaine. What were they up to, some of these oldies?
Did your dad have Bex?
No, Dad didn't have Bex, but he used to ask my sister and I to reverse the car out of the driveway.
Could that mean you go?
Yeah. Did anyone's dad used to send him into the shop to get ciggies for them when they were about a dollar a packet?
Oh, yeah, my mum used to send us up the shops and you'd go and buy a carton of milk and a carton of cigarettes for your mum and it would cost $1 and then you'd spend 10 cents on a Calippo and it was a good day. It was a good day.
It was a great day.
Absolutely fantastic.
Then you'd go home and play with some firearms. That was the 70s.
What have you taken now? So you're a modern dad, you know. I've seen articles with you. You get really, really involved in your kids' lives. What have you changed in your own parenting style? What have you changed from what you grew up with?
It's the small things like not drink driving, not letting my kids play with firearms, not buying them a knife when they're six.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the
nanny
small
state.
Things.
Yeah, it's the little things.
This show's been going great, Mez. It's been winning awards. People have been loving it. I cannot believe it's your first ever solo show, but then I think back, and you're right. You were in a double act for a long, long time, and you've been doing radio forever and TV. So this is a great chance. This is a great chance to go out and see Mez doing his thing.
But why, Ed, you might know, or Merrick, you might know, you go on Thursday the 23rd, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How come the tickets on the Thursday are cheaper?
You need to have a night for the tight asses, Marta. You need to have the night, exactly, for the uni students who just go, you know what, I'm going to finish off my Maggi 2-minute noodles and then I'm going to go and see Mez.
But are you only half rat power that night?
No, I give it everything on that night. I give it everything on every night because you know what I do? Before I go out on stage, I have a couple of Becks and then I go out there with a couple of cans.
Oh, you'll be back in 6 months charging three times with half as good a show.
Yeah. Oh, not even half as good. I'll only do half the show. I'll get Brendan to do the rest for me.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's
all right, Brendan, you can jump up now and give us those dates. When can we go and see Mez the Man of the Hour?
Thursday, 23rd of March to Sunday, the 26th of March. This is the Brisbane City Hall. He's gone straight to City Hall.
Oh, my hell? God.
Straight to City Hall.
Merrick, what?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of like Superman. Straight to City Hall.
Yeah, now, Mez, can we have a double to give away? We're tight. Can we have a double to give away?
You can have two doubles to give away.
Oh,
how's that?
Stop it.
I don't know if I've got the authority to do that.
Merrick Watts. Cheers, Mez.
See you guys.
If you've got an old school parenting story, our two favourite old school parenting stories are going to win themselves the tickets. Remember, it was the 70s, it was the 60s, it was the 80s. There's no judgment here.
Can I just give you one? Because we used to leave Lang Park every Sunday arvo when I was a kid in the 70s. And you know, Great George Street just up the road from where you are at Paddington, Hill. They've now got speed bumps there. But Dad used to launch us off there. It was so good. All three kids in the back seat and flying through the air.
Okay,
Kingswood.
Brett,
it was good.
Brett's from North Lakes. Brett, some old school parenting.
Yes, I used to live down in the southeast of South Australia, and back in the late 70s, we used to have an old charger, two-door charger.
Oh, I hate charger.
I was the youngest of seven kids, so there was nine of us in the charger coming back from a grand final, and my old man decided that he didn't like sitting at the back of the queue, so he overtook about 20 cars. And that was with the nine of us in the old charger.
Now let's just say that it's not a people mover, the charger. It was built for two humans. That's fantastic.
Brett, do you remember what people used to do when the charger used to drive past?
Wave?
No, there was a peace sign with "Hey Charger."
Yes.
That was the ad. Anyway, you're in the back. You couldn't see out the window. Seven kids.
Christine of Kashmir, old school parenting. What do you got?
It's actually my husband, Robin. When he was young, he came from a reasonably large family, and when they took trips to the coast, they didn't all fit in the ute, so him and his brothers had to lie in the tray and cover themselves with a tonneau cover.
Yeah.
And this was before the days of the highway, so it was a long trip up the back roads all the way to the Sunshine Coast.
Oh my!
Under a tarp in the back of the in the back of the ute.
Did they? They'd stick their heads out sometimes, but if the old man would have seen the cops coming, he'd hit the seat. Get out! Would that be it?
Yeah, I'm sure that's the way it works.
Start bleating. Pretend you're lambs.
It would have been similar to us. I do remember this very clearly, going to the drive-in and Dad...
Hiding. Want,
yes, hiding. Because we had an old station wagon.
Sheep.
And he threw a big blanket over the top.
They'd never seen that before, had they? What's under the blanket there moving?
We got through it, I reckon. It was going to see Greece.
Oh, yeah, going to see Greece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Bruce is from Sippy Downs. Bruce, some old school parenting.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Hey, good, Bruce.
Yeah, I've got a good one here. It was me dad.
Yeah.
When I was about 14, he was going to extend his shed out the back of the house.
Yeah, of course.
There was this great big tree in the way, so he had to drop this tree. And he was being a bit of a lazy bugger. He didn't want to remove the stump on its own, so he wanted the stump gone with the tree at the same time.
Yeah.
And he spent about 3 weeks digging all around the roots and everything around the base of this tree.
He was going to pull it out.
And yes. Well, the thing wouldn't come down. There was something holding it. So, Dad being Dad, sent me up the top. I was about 14 at the time.
Oh,
and he said, go up the top. This tree was probably 15 metres high. It was pretty big.
Yeah.
And he said, rock it. He wanted me to rock it so he could see what was holding it up.
With 14, you would have been about 50 kilograms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was going to help, of course.
Yeah, so you're
but, rocking. All I heard him say was, hang on, here's one ear. And he laid into it with the axe. And then that was the one. It was the taproot that was holding this tree up.
But,
and it came down with me up the top. I've hit the deck on 20 or 15 metres up this tree, and everything went quiet. Even my dad went quiet. And he said, are you all right?
Yeah.
I went, yeah, I'm fine. And then he just cracked up laughing, and I couldn't get any sense out of him for 15, 20 minutes.
Man, that is old school.
Had he had a couple, Bruce?
Sorry?
Had he had a couple of beers? That's normally before they did anything, they'd have a couple of beers.
That was normal for him. He was a non-drinker.
Oh, very good.
Well, mate, you have to go to Merrick Watts.
You're all going. Bruce, Christine, Brett, you're all going about Merrick Watts, Man of the Hour, next week, Brisbane City Hall. If you'd like to get your tickets, you can.
BruceConfest.com.
I don't know, after Bruce. Bruce should be dead, but he's not. We're glad you're alive, brother. Marto, Ed and Robin, it is the new Triple M.
Married at First Sight is going very well for Channel 9. This is something that we brought to people's attention earlier. Over, they're saying now, Robin, they've already asked for people to get involved in the next series, and they've had over 5,000 expressions of interest.
Oh, I couldn't imagine why.
But they think they're going to get to 10,000 applications by the time the period ends where you're allowed to apply. And why wouldn't you, when you could go on the show and meet wonderful men? Like, what's this guy's name? Andy, that we're about to hear?
Yeah, Andy and Cheryl.
So Andy was booted by another girl,
Lauren,
and now he's got with Cheryl, who's got massive
assets.
Thank you.
Mm.
And
I'm not helping with that one.
And he was caught. What did he say? Went out and got hammered with his mates, and he was trying to sort of talk to her about how he's actually a good guy. And this is the type of guy you can meet at Married at First Sight. Have a listen to how nice this bloke is.
I've been doing things in the last few days, like getting your water, making sure you're okay, like checking on you.
I don't see that as like a big thing. It's just like that's just normal to do.
All right.
Yeah, right.
He's the sort of guy, if you did marry him, he'd never make you mow the front lawn. Yeah. He'd just make his wife do the back lawn so no one could see it. That's the sort of guy he is.
That's right. So Channel 9, no wonder that people are absolutely flocking to be part of Married at First Sight. And I just jumped on the Channel 9 website and they're running an ad for applicants, and see if this tickles your fancy.
Are you the worst person you know? Are you worried that you're so interesting but nobody knows about you except the zero people that read your blog?
So that's why I use avocado scrub on my undercarriage.
Maybe you're a bloke that's upset that no one's seen your sleeve tattoo.
This is a carp fish, and this one is the Roman numeral of my dog's birthday.
Or maybe you're a girl that's had them done.
These are 12 double Ds with saline. Thanks, Dad.
Then you should apply for Married at First Sight. You too could be the next big...
Oh, what's his name?
Or...
Oh, God, there's that awful bloke. What's his name?
Or even... Oh, yes, there's that girl. She looks like a horse. What's her name? Just email desperatefwits@channel9.com.au if you can work out how to use a keyboard. Ladies, if you win, you could get a dud fake husband. And if you lose, you can hook up with Richard Wilkins at the Channel 9 Christmas party.
We've been talking about medical marijuana. We played you, Robin, a lady by the name of Sherry that we've spoken to a couple of times whose daughter's life was basically saved by medical marijuana. And it's been quite hard to get hold of. And now we're sort of starting to see some governments, some of them coming around to it, but there's still that stigma attached to the word marijuana. There are people out there, and I think you kind of get to the point where people think, oh, they hear marijuana and they get scared and they think that there's going to be kids that are going to be stoned, et cetera, et cetera, when that's absolutely not the case. Well, we keep trying to get politicians to come on and talk to us about it, and they don't want to show. But someone who always shows and is always ready to talk to us about the issues is Cameron Dick, the Queensland Health Minister. Good morning, Cam.
Hi, guys.
So, Cam, where does this sit? I don't know if you heard it the other day, but it seems to be working in any of the trials we hear about, whether they're government-approved trials or not. It's fixing kids up. Where are you sit on the issue?
Well, we've come a long way. Marto, we've come a terribly long way. Like about a year ago, it was completely illegal and it had been illegal to use any form of cannabis in Queensland for about 8 years. So our new laws come into effect on the 1st of March, so a few days ago, and that will provide a medical framework. And we need to ensure that when people use products in our community, whatever they are, that they are safe and that they work. Yeah. What it will do is will allow people, particularly young children who've got things like drug-resistant epilepsy. It'll just allow them another pathway for treatment. And we've now authorised doctors, so doctors can apply to be prescribers for medicinal cannabis. We've got the best guidelines in Australia, so that's information for doctors. How does it work? How do you apply? What does it mean? What are the active ingredients? We've got regulations, and of course, we've got the law changed in Queensland. Can I say, supported by all members of the Parliament, I'm really pleased that I was able to get that through with the support of everyone in the Queensland Parliament. So we've come a long way. And I think this is the start of something positive for the Queensland community.
And how expensive is it going to be for families? Because obviously they need it all the time.
Yeah, that's a real challenge, Robin. And two things have happened recently there. The federal government has taken steps, and I'll take my hat off to them. They've made arrangements for bulk supplies of medicinal cannabis products to be imported into Australia. So you don't have to do it on your own now. That's coming online. It hasn't happened straight away. That was announced about a week ago. So I'm very pleased the Commonwealth has taken full responsibility for importing bulk products. But affordability remains an issue, and I've written to the federal minister. I think that's an important thing. We've never subsidised medicines in Queensland. But I've written to the federal minister and I said, look, time's come for us to start to work to put this on the pharmaceutical benefits
scheme.
So we can get a subsidy in the community from the federal government. It's not going to be a product that everybody's going to use. No. But for the people that do use it, it's going to be significant and we need to give them a hand, and I've asked the federal government to start that process straight away.
Talking to Cameron Dick, Queensland Health Minister, about the use of medical marijuana, which seems to be now, as of March the 1st, is now going to be much easier for families, and the amount of kids, Marta, that we've been parents that we've spoken to off air that have saying that this stuff has absolutely saved their lives is incredible.
Cam, can I ask you another one just about the figures that came in from the states in the last couple of months? They have approved normal marijuana, and the amount of tax that they've been able to get. Obviously, there's a lot of people in our community smoke marijuana and it's a underground activity. You guys are losing a lot of tax from this. It's like the GST. That was to get rid of the black cash economy. There's a lot of cash flowing around with marijuana. Will we ever get to that stage, or are all the politicians too scared? Because we could be making a hell of a lot of money that drug dealers are making right now.
I tell you what I think the situation is now. I think there's a community consensus. I think across the community, as frankly evidenced by a vote in the parliament where everyone supported this, which doesn't happen that often, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I take the wins when you can get them.
Yeah.
That represents the community support for a medical product used in a medical framework.
That's medical, yeah. About what about the leap to the next one? Some of these states in America are making $2 to $4 billion
Colorado.
In tax.
Yep, huge.
Yeah, but there's a downside to that too, because it's an unregulated use of a potentially dangerous product. And we do know that long-term use of the psychoactive substance, that's THC, can lead to significant problems, including serious mental illness.
I think
trying to raise some money for me, and I shouldn't be critical of him. I need a lot of money in the health portfolio, I can tell you.
But it's going to cost us on the other end. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it might be a bridge too far at this point. Yeah. Cameron Dick, Queensland Health Minister. And also, we don't want Nimbin turned into Wall Street. We want to let them keep having their fun. Queensland Health Minister talking to us about medicinal cannabis. Thanks so much.
Good work.
Good on you guys. Nice to be with you.
Marto, this started for us some time ago when it was still illegal to use, when we were asking the question, well, does it work and what can it do for people?
Oh, God.
And Sherry called us a little while ago to talk about her daughter, Tara, and the uses that they've had to help little Tara. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Nice to speak to you again.
Yeah, you too.
Sherry, can you remind us, and we remember quite vividly, your daughter, Tara, was having hundreds of seizures a day and then started taking medical marijuana and things got a lot better, correct?
Yeah, definitely. She's gone from, 200 to 500 seizures a day to zero.
To zero, all because of the marijuana.
Yep.
And how did it change Tara's life? Because I know that you were telling us that I think she started doing classes and she was out and about.
Yeah, so before medical marijuana, Tara was, she was wheelchair most of the time. She could walk, but it was limited. Now she's running, she's swimming, she's dancing. You know, she's doing all the things normal kids do.
How old is she?
She's 11 now.
So is she, you know, in terms of her peer group, is she living a relatively normal life?
Yeah, she's functioning probably about 12 months below her peers. So really in a classroom setting, it's not noticeable anymore.
Whoa, that's the best.
So what do you have to say then? Because obviously the laws have now caught up, but there are still some people that are
The doctors are now saying, oh, it's mixed. We don't know about children. Maybe they shouldn't be taking it.
Well, what I say to that is if they don't take it, the side effect of not taking this is death.
Really?
Without this, Tara wouldn't be here.
So is it a life and death decision here?
Definitely. We were given 12 to 24 months for Tara to live, and, you know, here we are 4 years later and she's thriving.
How much does she take each day now?
Now she's taking nothing. She was on it for 3.5 years and we've now been able to take her off of it, and her seizures haven't returned.
And what about her prognosis moving forward within her life?
Well, honestly, we don't know. You know, partially because here in Victoria, no doctor wants to test her. No, they don't want the answers because she's been on the medical cannabis. They don't want to know that it has cured her or it has improved her or whatever.
Oh, my God. Do you think this is because of fear of drug companies, big pharmaceuticals?
Definitely. We've gone from spending $350 a month on medication to nothing.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very interesting wrinkle that you bring up, Sherry. We hadn't thought about that. There are some vested interests out there that don't want this. There's a gravy train that you may have interrupted, Sherry.
Medical marijuana companies don't give you free holidays in Hong Kong and Las Vegas, do they?
No, definitely not.
How much did it cost when she was on the marijuana?
We've been very lucky that, we've got our supply from a compassionate grower that wasn't charging any of the children anything.
Oh, my God.
He's got about 200 children on his books and
doesn't
charge them.
We might have to get that person's name off air, I think, Sherry. We might have to speak to them. We won't say their name now on air just in case. But, look, thanks so much for speaking to us again. Your story is illuminating.
Inspirational.
We're going to play, if you don't mind, we're going to send your tape back to the Health Minister, because I think we might have found the next part of this story, which is if there are big drug companies that are staring down the barrel of losing some of their money, that may have been what's been standing in the way, Sherry.
Sherry, can I ask you, do you think it's the pharmaceuticals or do you think it's the word marijuana that makes politicians more scared?
I think if we called this, something else, we probably wouldn't be having this argument. If it was a plant we found in the Amazon this week,
oh my God,
we'd be all jumping up and down going, we've got a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely right. They changed the name of opiates to all sorts of different things in order to make sure that we didn't know what they were. That is a very good point. Sherry, thanks so much for telling us your story and best of luck.
Yeah, well done.
Awesome. Sorry.
Best of Brisbane this week, the bakery section. Everyone happy with this?
Absolutely.
I'm really happy with the thought that all the bakers of Brisbane will be up and have been up longer than we have.
That's what I love about cycling, because unlike driving to work, I can smell everything. I go past two bakeries on my way to work, and both of them, they're almost ready. You can smell everything's ready and all the doughy, The doughy goodness. Hey, listen, we had, as opposed to our Best of Brisbane's in previous weeks, whether it was coffee or butchers and everything else, we've said, righto, spread the net, because there's so many people get back to us on a Tuesday or a Monday afternoon going, oh, I missed it. I would have nominated this or I could have nominated that. We've said, righto, spend all day Monday and until 8 o'clock this morning doing whichever baker you like. Put them in. We're putting them into a funnel and there'll be a top 10 announced at 8 a.m. this morning.
Everyone excellent.
Right with that?
There's lots of really good ones. Like on Facebook, Jodie Ann is saying the Crusty Devil Bakehouse.
Who is that?
Cannon Hill, Carina and Stone's Corner. So obviously they're a bit of a franchise.
Yeah, they're good, that makes.
Beryl's saying the Bayside Brownie Company.
Good Lord.
Yum, make the world's best brownies. Look at us, we're all like salivating, thinking,
we heard all those ones yesterday. That Debra Bakery got a lot of raps from different people. They're all getting raps. But I went, you know, because I left here on my pushy yesterday, I went, are there any of them close to here? Because I didn't want to go to Cleveland, you know, they all seem to be out, way out in the burbs. There was one at New Farm. It was called the Bakeologist. All right, I was on the corner, is it Merthyr and Brunswick? You know, where the Coles at New Farm is. It's out the front there, not stuck in behind. On the main street, not the Brunswick, the other one. So I walked in there and simply asked them, did you hear about, you know, you've been nominated?
Yeah, we heard.
What's the specialty?
Oh, mate, the sausage roll, you can't get past. We've got lamb, garlic and rosemary sausage roll.
Bingo.
What was that? Something garlic and rosemary.
Lamb, garlic and rosemary sausage roll.
Oh, my Lord.
It's 11:15 in the morning.
Get one?
Yes. Oh, one of those, please. All right. So then I pivoted left. I had a yarn to them. Hold on, I've got to mention this bloke. The girl who served me, her old man, she reckoned is our number one fan, Triple M. Listened to us forever since we opened the doors 30-whatever years ago. Alan Guthrie, there you go, gave him a run.
Oh, wow.
But I pivoted left, and there's their sweet stuff. So they had their sausage rolls and pies. Am I dribbling?
Yes.
Sausage rolls and pies were there. Their goodies, yeah, the sweet goodies. And I went, oh. What? It was like the old days, because I'd always get a savoury and a sweet for Smoko around 11. And then I...
So what did you get?
Well, I asked, what else do I need?
What about... That's the savouries. What about the sweets?
Carrot cake.
It's...
Carrot and pineapple cake.
Can I get one of those too?
Vanilla cream cheese icing.
All right.
Let him keep going. Yeah. There are other options that we didn't get.
No, you don't want to hear about it. Let anyone who goes to the Bakeologist, you go ahead right and vote. But it was bloody, oh, God, it was terrific.
Sauce?
No. Where? All right. Here it is.
Thank you. Oh, and have you got a little sauce too? Did you charge me for that?
Sauce is for free.
Oh, hold on.
Free sauce. That's a proper bakery.
Thanks, guys. Discuss. Is that correct? I can't cop bakeries that charge me for sauce.
That's quite Bakeologists in West End, they are looking...
No, New Farm,
sorry, what did I say? So they are looking absolutely locked. Let's nominate. They're in. They're definitely one of our top 10.
I'm going to nominate them based on... I ate it yesterday. It was bloody terrific. Carrot and pineapple cake.
You love carrot in a cake.
I do. Every day, every morning at about 3:35, I ride past my local 7-Eleven on the way to work. It's open 24 hours a day. I pushed past today and I looked at my watch after I'd already gone past and went, my God, it's the 7th. I went back. Do we know what today is?
Yep, you can tell us.
All right. It's bring your own cup to the 7-Eleven day today. And their advertising says that you can bring a hollowed out watermelon and they'll fill it full of Slurpee. Hmm. I wasn't sure about that because I thought I heard a change of rules. So I went inside my 7-Eleven. Now, remember, I've got some audio here. I turned around, went back and went, I'm going to get the rules for everyone here. This is for $1, whatever vessel you bring, and that's what I believe this to be. So I went inside and asked my local bloke. He wasn't a real chatty Indian type of bloke.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just go with it. We might talk over the top.
Hey, mate, can I just confirm, is today BYO Cup Day?
Today.
What does that mean? You bring anything?
Yeah.
And fill it up for $1. Oh, righto. Any cup, a bucket? What are the rules? Oh, you got the rules. Oh, I don't need too much.
He went into the back room here and he got a 2 metre cardboard cutout.
Watertight cup must be clean, one cup per person. Cheers, mate.
That's it.
So hang on. Yeah, what size does the cup have to be?
Any size. Must be watertight. Yeah. Must be clean. Only one at a time. You can take anything in there. You can take a bucket.
I'm on their website now.
All right, tell me what's happening.
So that there is a size limit. They've said, and I'm not mucking around here. Oh. They're saying mixing bowls, plastic hats, teapots are eligible. Mm. Vessels, they're calling them vessels. Mm. Trash cans, inflatable pools will not be accepted. I don't know why. Honestly, it says that on the website. So that's,
I reckon one-handed. If you can carry it out one-handed, you're allowed to do it.
It says you can bring a friend if there's two girls and there's only one cup. That's okay.
Yep. Is that really?
We did have an issue a couple of years ago with this, and the boys did bring a bucket. But the problem is that if you end up with a bucket full of Slurpee, you have to do something with it. Like, it's all very... a whole bucket.
My young bloke, like, going landscaping all day, he'll take something enormous and they'll just have a big straw and they'll drink it all.
Mm.
But you got to get in early. My experience of $1 drink as big a cup, bring your own cup day...
Yeah.
At the end, by 2 o'clock, the Savo, it's just runny.
Do you know what the flavours are?
You've
got
to get it while it's thick. Well, you've still got it while it's got some, some oomph to it.
Yes.
Some ice in it.
See, maybe they've done Lamington flavour, which they've done in the past.
Oh, if they've only got bubblegum flavour, I'm up them.
I'm going
to
have a look.
You know what is interesting about those rules, though, Ed? Mm. Someone would have had to bring in an inflatable swimming pool for them to bend.
Yeah, right.
Come on, mate.
What the hell?
Come on, mate.
That's why they got the bollards up. That's not for ram raids. That's for some bloke tried to back his ute in there one day.
There are people who've brought a toilet I've seen on the internet.
Oh, no.
A guy that brought a sled. One guy brought, the funniest one is the guy that brought his own fake leg and filled it up.
Oh,
he's got one
what
leg.
What a toast. Imagine that 21st. Let's toast to Brian. Out of his leg.
We'll allow it.
Hey, Ed, I know you like a protest. It was only a couple of weeks ago we were talking about... Used to be one of your ways of picking up chicks.
Yeah, you pretend you care about something and then you grab hold of a girl.
Love that.
I think you grab hold of a sign and then a girl.
Yeah,
but all right, it used to be a young person's game.
Mm.
Well,
right.
As of yesterday, the oldies have got a bit of time on their hands and they've started protesting downtown.
Staging an old-fashioned sit-in until they get what they want.
All right, what's happened here? We're all grandparents. It's a grandparent only. You have to be a grandparent to be involved with this. All right. And Adani, you know the Adani coal mine? They're going, we don't want this because it'll change climate. So they've all gotten together. They reckon there's thousands of them involved. They're able to. They all moved in with blow-up lounges into the Labor Party building. Got inside. There were doubts how long they'd last. A few people said, as soon as they turn the aircon off in the building for the night, they'll skedaddle. But they were all ready to go, and they said, we got so many people. What they had, they were sitting on the lounge outside the lifts at the Labor Party building playing flutes and the ukulele.
Oh, wow.
That will be one hell of a protest. They said, we've got all the time in the world, because they don't look like, I think they're all retirees.
But haven't you seen the Knitting Nannas? The Knitting Nannas were part, yeah.
Are they protesting?
Yeah, they did, and they won. They were all part of that coal seam gas protest, and they would go and do the sit-in.
Just sit there knitting.
And they knitted, and the Knitting Nannas, and they did their knitting, and then they gave it to charity. But it went on for like months,
but
like
it wouldn't
14
be the same ones.
Months.
They just knew a new crew would come in, a new crew would
and they
come
just
in.
Keep
That's
knitting.
What these people are saying. We're going to stay here, and we got thousands of people to take over, and they'll just sit there playing the bloody ukulele and the flute.
Do you want to hear their slogan, their chant, their battle cry?
Yes.
I didn't hear one.
I think here it is.
What's in the bag? What's in the bag? They lowering, it's lowering.
We'll do anything. We'll stop the mine, just go away, Jay.
Please get out of our
whatever
foyer.
It is, just leave.
Now, Ed, I know when you were younger, you stayed in a lot of share houses. Robin, have you ticked that box?
I did 8 cities in 8 years as I was coming up the ladder in radio, and every single city was a new share house.
Stand by and cook up those memories, because I want to go down memory lane in a second. But last Friday, I had to work down in Sydney Friday night. Woke up Saturday morning. Well, actually, I got Hillary's moved down there 6 days earlier. Mm-hmm. I haven't declared this, but Ed will eventually get it out of me. Yes, I am paying her rent this year, her first year at university.
I bloody knew it.
She's got to make her own money, mate. She's got a little job nannying for some people. All right. Anyway, she made a decision to go down to the big smoke because Brisbane doesn't seem to be big enough. Anyway, so I'm paying the rent. So I thought, if I'm paying the bloody rent, because I then had to go to Canberra on Saturday for a game of footy, so I said, I'm going to go around and see where my rent money's going. I want to have a look at this joint.
So we're going to get the details of this place in a moment, but it's a share house in Sydney. Now, I've done that. I've done my fair share when because I'm like you, Robin. I've lived everywhere, and I've lived in share houses every single place. Just ask you this, how many people is Hillary living with?
Four boys.
Four guys and Hillary.
They're all bushies too.
Is she in a relationship?
No. She's got her own room on her own, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
She's got another boyfriend lives somewhere else. No, she's got a boyfriend lives somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not what it's about. It's about the condition of the house. Cast your minds back. If you ever stayed in a share house, 133353, I reckon I counted 26 empty tallies there on Saturday morning, cigarette butts. There were chaff-eating chops all over the place.
Yep. What happened in your share house? Give us some of the living conditions. Was it the state of the beds? How many people were in there?
You can't sit up on her bed because she's underneath the roof. She's like got an attic room. You've got to slide off and then you can stand up.
Well, that may keep her single for a long time, which is probably a good thing.
Tell us about your share house experience. Where was it? How many people? What innovations did you have? Was your couch made out of milk crates?
I can remember always being share houses because I had footy and building sites. I'd always have share houses with girls because they were so clean and they'd look after things. Hillie's with four blokes. And I said, don't get sucked into cleaning up everything, love. Yeah. She said, no way.
No, she probably won't either. No,
share house, Robin Bailey.
Okay, so I consider myself quite a generous person and I don't like being surrounded by people who are really mean because it's not how I want to live. But there was one girl who I will call Megan and we were in Toowoomba when I was on Wind Television up there doing some news reading. And Megan was very mean. And she came from a very wealthy family, so it didn't make sense. But what Megan used to do was that she would take the toilet paper and she would number the squares. And she would take it off the roll and put like 20 squares in a little box.
What?
And yeah, seriously, like that's I lasted in that house about a month because I'm like, I actually confronted her about it. I said, is this a joke? Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
And what she was like, well, this is my toilet paper. And I said, okay. Do you need me to buy toilet paper? She said, no. This is special stuff that my dad gets from China.
Special
and it has some
paper.
China? Wow.
Some
China?
Yeah, like some, you know how you have sheet count?
Yeah. Thread count. Yeah, thread count. Well, you should have said to her, can I borrow it? I'll give it back when I'm finished. Yeah.
I wish you'd been in my life then, Ed Cavalier. That would have been great. But anyway, I left the house after.
There's some people you're just not meant to get on with. Hey, we go. Hey, Frank from Redcliffe, are you in a share house, mate?
Yeah, well, I was when I was 19. Yeah. I was sharing with three other 19-year-olds, and we didn't have a washing machine, but we had a spa bath. So we just threw all the clothes in, bit of shampoo, and bubbles everywhere.
That's bad.
Did it clean the clothes?
It did. Actually, surprisingly better than a washing machine.
Oh, that's great.
Am I the only one that's seen somebody use their dishwasher as a washing machine?
I've never seen that. Does that work?
Yeah, oh, that works. Bloody hell.
I've never even used one. I've had one for about 8 years. I've never used a dishwasher at all.
Well, there's your washing machine just sitting there going unused.
Your undies go into your cutlery.
Socks are up there, up top. It works. All right. That's all I can say.
That's a classic, Frank. Okay, Andrew from Logan Village. How old were you, mate, and what happened in your share house?
Oh, mate, I was living in a, me and my mate were apprentice chefs and we're living in a six-dwelling old Queenslander in West End the corridor down the middle, you know. Basically, the one-bedroom apartment and my mate was in the main bedroom and I was off to the study area, which had both archways, and we're using our curtains as basically walls. Yeah. And basically our
milk crates with our table and our TV stands with milk crates and stuff like that. And, yeah, just brings back fond memories as being an apprentice chef, that is.
Okay, so if you wanted to bring someone home with you, was there...
Made it very difficult, yes. But
yes, it's a public love life.
Well, what did you do?
Yeah, sharing love life, basically, by noise.
So you didn't ring ahead or send a message or...
Sometimes we'll consider if I'm with each other, but sometimes, you know, we've come home from work and we've been out most of the afternoon or night after work. And,
was there a signal? Did you leave anything on the front door, like a signal?
Oh, yeah. No, we ended up leaving a little note sometimes as well. Yeah.
Be careful. The curtain's on.
The curtain's on, yeah. Keep out.
I love it.
Those poor women.
Good old days.
Like, really?
I know.